coming back in. Call the meeting to order at... What's that?
Do you have a majority?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a quorum. Dave and
sorry.
Legislator Archer and myself. I guess that's true. No, we have a lot of guests with us today, so we'll get right down to it. The sole item of business on the agenda today is discussion of Resolution 54, amending the rules of order to require participation on standing committees. I'll entertain a motion to move it for discussion. Second?
Second.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't realize I was the only other one here.
Yeah.
For the purposes of those who were not here last time, there was some discussion at the last committee meeting. If you look in your packets, I believe in a track changes format, there are the changes that were spoken about last time and agreed to by myself as the primary sponsor of the resolution. And we're here to talk some more about it.
Go on vacation.
That's right.
Does everybody have an agenda?
Okay.
Did you keep one for me? You're the best. Isn't you the best? Do we want to go through the changes that were made line by line, or do we want to start talking about it? How's the committee and guests want to proceed? Okay. It's on page 2. F is a new part of the rule. Every legislator shall serve on at least one standing committee of the Ulster County Legislature. In G, the word may was changed to shall the chairperson considering each legislator's knowledge, experience, expertise, or interests. And on I, there was an extra catch-all phrase added at the end of the reasons for a excusal from serving on the committee, which is, conflict of interest, illness, family obligation, or any other reason as deemed sufficient by the chairman. And those were the two that I remember and the two that are listed here.
I mean, I have comments, but I don't know how you want to, is there a way you want to proceed? Do you want me to just start?
Just start talking about it.
So, my first comment is that H, I think, is unnecessary because with F, and you can get a legal read on it if you want, it says that every legislator shall serve on at least one standing committee. So that, and that the appointments are made by the chairperson, which is in our rules.
I have a dinner. I'm sorry, but I have to leave. I thought we weren't going to be this late. I have a wrestling dinner at 5:30.
Bye.
At Rhonda High School. Or 6. It's at 6. I didn't think we were going to be this long.
It's all good, buddy.
I'm sorry. And originally I thought the dinner was 6:30, but it's 6.
Do you have anything to say while you're here?
Honestly, no. I mean, I think whatever document with all the different folks here with the broad diversity will come up with something good. I support having something, a resolution saying that, we all need to serve. So that's, however we come up with it, that works for everybody. I'm fine with it. So.
I agree with Tracy H.
I think it's redundant. I don't think we need to rules.
I don't.
Okay.
And here's why.
Okay.
Because currently there's nothing in the rules saying that a legislator has to accept the committee. assignments. And my opinion from minority counsel was that there was nothing that compels service on any particular committee, and that was the reason for putting in H. I know that you and I have had a disagreement about whether or not the chairman has to accept a resignation or not, absent saying he has to or saying he doesn't have to.
I'd be curious what Kathy has to say, because I think that you're adding F, saying...
I did look at this. I have it in my office. We'll be right back.
Okay. You're adding F, saying that they shall serve on a committee, and it's specified in the rules that the chair makes the appointments. So I think that H is redundant, and at the least, if I'm going to throw it out just as a compromise, at the least, I think this language, regardless of their knowledge, expertise, experience, or interest, is redundant and old.
That's perfectly acceptable. I would personally be willing without objection to remove the entire part and end it at by every legislator, period. I would find that acceptable. Legislator Archer?
I guess I'm being overly managed by this, but yet I understand. So kind of taking into account and being kind of new to the process, I feel like I may have a different point of view, not married to one thing or another. And when I look at and think about participation, it's always best if you can put people on committees where they have an interest, because the results tend to be better when people have an interest in something. And not to say that there are times that we're going to be on committees where we may not, but we find an opportunity to have an impact. One. Two, I think there is value to experience, knowledge, expertise, tenure. Doesn't mean it's an automatic gimme, but I think those things are important because it does bring continuity and value to the various committees. Three, I think that for the benefit of, without being having personal attacks, I do think that there's an opportunity to improve communication for everyone, so that there is a general understanding of what people want and that there's a process. So I've looked at this from a process perspective, saying, okay, let's put a process in place. What kinds of things can we do to add value to the process? And if there is a process for getting this out, I did make a couple of changes, having not been at the last meeting, that I wanted to get to everyone. And some of the changes that I made were process oriented. So, and I'll share this. It's just that I didn't get a chance to make copies. And it was really around in making appointment. I didn't send it to anybody.
I was going to ask if she wanted to make copies for everybody, and we can follow along. Is that all right?
Of course I can.
Oh, then fine. Make the copies and we'll go from there. And
I'm a very visual person.
That's fine.
It's,
I totally get it. So yeah. Am I.
Wait for copies to discuss what you... Well, I just, if I can make my points, because I have to go to another meeting also. I'm glad Kathy's here, because we could, and Chris. A little bit different than what Tracy's saying. G, you included the word shall consider,
yes,
which means he must. He will. It's not maybe or might or he shall. So H is contradictory, because G, you're saying he should, not that he should, he shall look at each legislator's knowledge, experience, expertise, or interest.
Yes.
So H doesn't go with G.
That's
then you're saying,
incorrect.
On the other hand, if he doesn't, a legislator still has to accept it.
Well, you're missing the key word in G, shall consider. The word consider doesn't necessarily mean that when he looks down the list of 23 legislators and the five legislators on one committee that a legislator, or one or two committees that a legislator would request, there's not necessarily that they're going to fit in one of those five spots. I mean, I'll give you an example. Every year, there's probably 15 legislators that want to serve on Ways and Means, but you don't have 15 seats on Ways and Means. So you're always going to have somebody whose interest or experience or knowledge or expertise is not necessarily going to be reflected in their completely in their committee assignments.
Not on every committee, no. But if I could ask Chris or Kathy.
Thank you.
Then really have the word shall and consider.
Thank you very much.
He shall means he shall.
Thank you.
I don't think that they're contradictory, but...
Well, and maybe this will help to get back to it, because really what it's addressing is interest in what committees, it's valuing expertise, and it's hopefully improving a communication process where everyone feels they are heard. And what I'm recommending here is changing G, if you'll go to G, because that's really where the meat of it is kind of setting up a process where within 7 days of our annual reorg meeting, every legislator shall inform their appropriate majority-minority leader in writing their top three committee assignments. Mm-hmm. The next step being the majority leader and minority leaders will meet with the newly appointed chairperson to present to the legislator's request, provide insight for the chairperson regarding each legislator's knowledge, experience, expertise, and interests. And then C would be the chairperson of the legislature shall consider each of them and their interests and will assign each legislator at least one of their requested committees, and other assignments will be at the discretion of the chair. This way, people are at least having the opportunity to at least get one committee. And to your point, Ken, is... You know, there's a lot of people requesting a lot of, but if you give three different committees and you know, and then you have at least one and then maybe another that the chair, at the chair's discretion for whatever reason, at least there's a way of minority leaders involved, majority minority leaders involved, and the chair is hearing from both sides, and people at least feel that they're heard, that there's an understanding, regardless of what transpired. I think it's more about a process. That's my recommendation.
I like it.
Jeanette, if I could just have Jeanette finish up hers, because she's got to go, Dave, and then we'll come back to you.
Yeah, no, I basically this what Lynn just read takes care of what my concern was.
Okay, Dave.
All right, I understand where he's coming from, but, you know, he's having served as the chairman for 4 years and having to appoint committees. I also understand that if you say that you will assign each place there at least one requested committee, there may be a problem there.
Yeah.
Maybe if you there are three requests that they have, there may be... every request from other people that have more experience dealing with those things. I mean, I certainly understand that, you know, what you're attempting to do. But on the other hand, I mean, I know, you know, for instance, myself, when I first started serving, I didn't get any committees I've ever asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're on a committee, you know, you learn from the committee. You get interested in what's on that, even if it wasn't your initial interest. You know, I mean, that's part of the learning process. So, I mean, I would have a problem with that, but you may not be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly depending on the number of committees you have. We have reduced the number of committees a certain amount, and I think it could be reduced even more. You never know what may happen in the future. I mean, I think the committees in Dutchess County, I think they have six, I think it is.
And they all meet one night, and that's...
They have a whole different system, but having said that, in other words, it's not necessarily doable or might not be good in the end. I know where you're coming from on it. On the other hand, I think, you know, to make it that they have to have one of those... could create another burden that's not,
To piggyback on what Dave's saying, I don't know that I could support the second half of C will assign each legislator to at least one of their requested committees without a caveat, you know, to the best of his or her ability, because because, like Dave's saying, and sometimes it's not just the seats on the committee mm-hmm. would fill up too fast. You know, let's say five people in my 10-person caucus put in they want to be on laws and rules and ways and means and a third. All right, then we're going to have to go back. Well, you know, everybody tries again. So then we have all the committees set, and then all of a sudden it's impossible to schedule all the committees because there are too many conflicts between people on one committee or another. Because I've been involved with a lot of you know putting people on committees for the last you know 3 years myself, and it can get really convoluted.
But Trace? I don't think scheduling something we should take into consideration because we work in a
I'm saying when you get beyond it, even right, that comes into play.
We can scheduling. You could extend it to additional weeks. Like look at the environment.
You putting your head up
to a week
yeah.
that we okay. normally meet on. I mean, I think this does address a lot of concerns. I hear Dave that there might be a circumstance where we couldn't put someone, but I feel like it'd be really, really unlikely. I mean, I don't know. I feel like if everyone really did write down three, it'd be very unlikely that you wouldn't be able to assign one. I mean, I want to say that just keeping on this theme and something, which might seem surprising, but something that I've thought about is minority input, because I realize that they're the chairs, it's the chairs' appointments, but me personally, I think that there's an argument to be made that the minority should make their seat selections. And they don't. It's the chair's appointment. And in fact,
99% of the time.
In fact, under the previous chair allowed the chairs of committees to say, no, I'm not accepting that person on my committee, where you could make the argument that if it were a really caustic environment between the majority and the minority parties, that the majority could keep the minority out of all their seats. I mean, and I don't think that's necessarily the best idea either. So, I mean, just food for thought, but again,
which was why B was there. It gave an opportunity
to at least have one, exactly.
Don, and then Jeanette again.
Okay, I got a couple things. First of all, on this particular issue, I spent a couple hours, and I think I got everybody on our side, the committees that they wanted, at least one, maybe two, mm-hmm. and it was not that difficult to do, but the choices that I made were not moved forward, and we are where we are. So I think it is possible to do it. My second thought is that, listening last time, Ken, I heard you were sitting where Manager Joe is, or right about
yes.
there, you indicated that the difference about this situation and other situations is a paper trail. I think I'm quoting it correct. That if the way that we were doing it, there was no paper trail to find out about legislators not joining committees and things like that. And I've thought about it, and there is a paper trail in that it can be marked absent. And I don't know how that differs from anything else that we do.
If you could just, because I didn't understand where you're going with that until just now.
What I'm saying is that sometimes we're doing things right, maybe not doing the right things. So, Mike, this is a fine exercise to go through, and it's a good exercise, and we should. But when we take a look and say, okay, what else do we keep legislators, how do we regulate what they do? And this, is to me, is regulating what we're doing. I'm trying to think of another situation within the legislature, how we regulate what legislators do. And I'm not sure I can. Maybe I'm missing one or two, but I just don't see them. In the end, we talked about term limits at one point, and the answer for that was, well, the public can, we have term limits every election. People don't want them in, they're out. As long as people know what's going on, and I think that's where I'm going with it, people would know. They would have the same information about any committee that you're on or not, or there's tapes, there's video, there's everything else. So when we start to take a look and say, if I'm right, that we are starting to regulate what legislators can and can't do, where does it stop? How many monthly meetings do you have to go to? How many committee meetings do you have to do, a standing committee? How many special meetings do you have to do? How many can you miss? What rules do we have for any of that? We're putting rules in for here for selecting committees, but we're ignoring the bigger picture. In the whereases. Where it is important for resolutions to be vetted before reaching the floor to be voted on the full legislature. Well, you can be on a committee and never go. How many do you have to meet? Doesn't say.
I would be perfectly fine with instituting a penalty for not attendance at committee meetings if that's what you'd like.
Now, yeah, but now we get the the camel's nose under the tent. If how far do you want to go? How far do we want to regulate the legislators? How many meetings do you have to attend? We had a situation here not that long ago where we had a vote on the sales tax. We barely had enough.
Well, that was a special meeting that was scheduled, like, rescheduled, like, four times. I believe that's a really poor example.
Well, okay, then you think it's a poor example. But my point is, how do we say, how many meetings today, how many monthly meetings do you have to go to before being something?
Zero. There is no requirement for attendance.
And if you're really looking to do what you talk about, vetting and notifying your caucus, how many caucuses do you have to attend? How many standing committees do you have to attend? How many special meetings? How many monthly? There are none.
For the purposes of this, caucus is not a function of the legislature. It's a function of political parties, and it would be really poor taste to require attendance.
You're forming the attendance people that are not... Well, no, you would have both sides. You're informing the other legislators that you caucus with about what's going on, because if they're not at the meetings, they won't know. So the point I'm getting to is that we don't have any of these rules about monthly meetings, special meetings, committee meetings, whatever. There are nothing else. So we're choosing this as the first one to do. I'm saying I think it's pulled out of context, out of necessity for what happened. I certainly understand that. And this is not a knock against what we're doing here at all. It's but recognizing that once we start down this path, how do you not go to the next step? How do you not put rules in for everything we do for the legislators and then take it out of the people's hands?
Jeanette, then Dave, then Tracy, then Herbie, then Lynn. Sorry, I saw all the hands go up at
without
once.
Without writing it down.
That's fine.
Let me go back just a little bit when we were talking about the responsibilities of majority leader, minority leader.
Yes.
I know some people don't like when you say, oh, well, we always done it in the past. It doesn't mean it can't be changed. But who better? I mean, they're given a leadership position, and members of their caucus feel very comfortable, as Don just elaborated on. And in fact, he did. He did a great job, and we were all very happy until we heard what the outcome was. But having said that, I don't know how you're going to, in the end, rule on that.
Well, if I could just jump in real quick on that, to allow the minority and majority leaders to appoint the committees, we need to change the charter. Because the charter states that the chairman shall appoint the committees in a manner set forth in the rules of the legislature.
And it always has, of course. That's the final say of
right.
The chairman. But when a chairman says to a majority leader and a minority leader, put together the request from your caucuses, I would think you'd try, to do the best you can with those recommendations. Otherwise, why even ask them? Number one. But I wrote down here, and it kind of goes to what Don has been saying. In your rules, the way you wrote this, you are obligating a legislator to serve on one committee.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you obligate that they attend, even if it is only one committee? You have no obligation in here for
There's
anybody.
Absolutely no manner by which to enforce that. How would you enforce that? How would you? Are we going to put in there that the sheriff's office shall go? And
no, they're either fined or or you can find other ways of public record.
By New York State County law, we can fine legislators up to $50 for each non-attended meeting.
Yeah.
Dave.
I want to comment on a few things that were said. Now, actually, the last year that Geraldine served as chairman, I was the minority leader, and I kept pressuring him that we should be making our own choices, and he did that. and it followed suit after that. Most of the time, even with the last chairman, who I had some serious problems with, she still actually went around with almost all of my recommendations, other than maybe one, I think it was, and it was because the chairman of the committee definitely didn't want that person.
Yeah.
That was the argument. And I can understand some of the argument, but the point was is that so the minority leader has had that ability actually from that, and in other words, as chairman, I did the same thing. I did not. I think I overrode Glenn Noonan on one because he was doing something out of, just to screw up a committee is what he was doing. He was purposely doing something to make the committee have problems. He was purposely putting people on there that had,
I don't think anybody at the table could imagine that.
Yeah, and you know what I mean. So, but other than that, but on the other hand, the majority leader, in a sense, has not had much say on the committees because it's been the chairman from that side doing it with the minority leader's consultation with their people. So if you want to consider another way of looking at that, but I mean that has been the tradition. Whether it's right or wrong but that has been the tradition.
And very typically, if I could just jump in on what you're saying there, Dave. Very typically, the majority leader and the chairman are working close together at that
Thank
point.
Thank you for making that
right.
point.
Thank you.
Thank
exactly.
you for making that point.
Correct. Whatever the problem is with that.
I'm not making a judgment there. I'm just saying that.
But my take on it is we're meeting on this particular item, and should we be doing this particular item? That's what we're asking. Now, if you want to go into greater detail to go further and start talking about people must attend and having fines and all that, well, that'd be fine too, but
I think that's secondary to the point at hand.
Issue that we're dealing with, and I would like to deal with this particular issue, and and then move forward. If you want to do more, if people want to do more, then I think what they should do is, put in some written suggestions so we could actually sit down when we have actually five committee members, so it's manageable, and we could actually work that out, run through those. But this is the issue that we're dealing with right here. And I'd like to deal with this issue, so before we move on to other issues.
Tracy, then Herbie.
I'm going to stay on this issue. And I want to first thank Lynn for putting this down in writing. It's helpful to see it in writing. And not having seen it before, and listening to Don's comment about his experience as a majority leader, it strikes me that actually Lynn's G with the ABC does even address my concern about minority, because it puts more weight on the majority and minority leaders actually getting together with their caucus and not just taking a list that they then move on, but taking a list and thinking of it as a puzzle and working with their members and say, this is what I'm going to bring to the chair, be it a male or female, not to stick with the he. This is what I'm going to bring to the chair, and if you want to be sure you're going to get one of your appointments, I need to make sure that I'm giving the chair something that's going to allow the chair to give you one of your appointments. I can't give the chair six requests that are identical, because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So it puts a little more work on the majority and minority leaders, but I think it requires then a kind of back and forth between each individual caucus. And so for me now, reading and thinking about it, for getting that extra 10-15 minutes to think about it, I think it's a pretty excellent and considered idea. I personally, I like the idea of requiring, I realize we're making rules to oversee ourselves, but I do see that there is a hole. I'm personally of the belief that currently our rules would have allowed the chair not to accept a declination of committee. So,
but we can both agree there's an ambiguity.
Right, that's right. What I'm saying. So I like the idea of requiring one. My one question, and I really like Lynn's. If we were to accept this as an amendment, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. My last question is for legal, and that's this H, which allows, and I like, Lynn, your adding of only upon written notice that the word only. I think it's a smart addition. But my question is, we're making a rule that says a legislator shall serve on one committee, and in the same rule we're saying you shall, except you might be able to be excused. And so I just want to acknowledge that that's what we're doing. We're saying, because the excusing I was previously thinking of as being excused from standing on a standing committee that was assigned, right? So but now I'm reading it as you were assigned. So let's say you're assigned one committee. This rule, as I read it, saying the chair might say Mary Beth only got laws and rules, and she says, I can't serve on laws and rules because I have, you know, work that night. So the chair says, all right, you don't serve on laws and rules. Now you no longer stand on any committee. So I don't know if there's, I don't know if that's the intention, if we want to allow then that the chair or the process begins again, or if we really want to allow the chair to provide for an opportunity for someone not to serve on any committee.
I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so Cappy, if you want to, if you want to see if you can answer that, it would seem to me that if a legislator is only appointed to one committee and the chair accepts his resignation from that committee, he'd have to be appointed to a separate committee.
I still think that idea that they must serve on one, I mean, that they have to be assigned one of them could be difficult. If you have a new legislator that comes in.
No, I know. Let's worry about this for just 1 second, Dave, and then we'll get back to that in a second.
So
that's an interesting point.
If I have the order correct, this happens after they're appointed. Wouldn't this happen before they're appointed? If there's a conflict of interest, wouldn't that...
A conflict of interest could arise after they've already been appointed. Okay. They could take a new job, and then all of a sudden they've got a conflict of interest.
Or the family issue, or the illness, anything could crop up.
The question is what?
If H is allowing the chair to excuse a legislator from serving on a standing committee, and that legislator's only been appointed to one committee, as I read it, that being excused, this rule is in conflict with itself. We're saying a legislator shall serve, but the chair can excuse them from serving.
We could have
I think to change F is every legislator shall be appointed to at least one standing committee, and then they can't be excused from serving on a committee unless one of these reasons is.
But is the aim that you want to allow the opportunity to not serve on any committee? I thought the aim.
Well, one of the reasons is illness. I don't think that somebody should be required to serve on a committee if they have a major illness and end up in the hospital.
Yeah, you won't have to serve if you turn around and say, "Well, I can't serve on this committee for whatever reason," and the chairman accepts that. Then it doesn't mean you have to serve on a standing committee. But I want to go back to another thing.
But before we move, can I just address this just as far as a thinking process? As I said in the beginning, this was about participation. Participation results are better when people have an interest, not to say that they can't. But the biggest thing here is communication. And we all, at least I think we can all agree that some of the things that have transpired that has forced this issue to the table is the lack of communication or the perceived lack of communication, whether it was real or not. It's a perceived lack of communication. What this creates, though, is the opportunity, if you're including the minority leader, the majority leader, in dialogue for committees to the point that Tracy made, where there be, you know, if you're one of the leaders and you have, to her point, five people asking for the same committees, that's not going to happen. There can be dialogue before they actually get submitted to ensure that, okay, if not these, what then? And here's where we're... So it becomes a bit of horse trading anyway. We know that. But at least it's a process where there is a communication flow. People know what to expect on how to get put onto a committee and that there is representation and dialogue.
Cappy, hold on, Dave. Cappy's got his...
I think we've come up with an answer. I think H creates an exception to F.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But
it creates an exception.
But I don't think that's a good idea, and I'll tell you why. Yeah, I mean, that was my point.
You can make it more or less specific in either F or H, but H creates an exception to F, and you can readjust every wording. For example, if someone is too ill to make committee meetings, there are a number of options. One is you can say you're excused from committee. One is you can say, you can't make committee meetings, so you must resign. So I think there's a lot of leeway there that you guys have to decide on what your priorities are and what you want to do.
And if I can just quit, because that was my point, this H, I mean, the idea of creating an exception, illness is something I can understand. If there's a legislator who their one committee appointment, again, is picket social services, and they say, I have a conflict of interest, or they say, well, it's meeting at 6 o'clock and I work nights, I can't go to a Tuesday meeting. To me, that's not a sufficient reason. We're creating a resolution saying you have to serve on one committee. That is not a sufficient reason to not serve on any committee.
I agree with you.
So I think it's a very broad, right now H is very broad in terms of allowing a total out of F for a million reasons.
Dave, then Herbie, then Mitt.
It allows it out if the chairperson agrees to give them that out. The whole point of having the chair is the ability to do something like that, override that if they feel that it's necessary. The other thing is I want to go back to the other one where we'll assign each one of these one requested committee. There's still a problem with that because I'll tell you what, if I was in a situation, I'm a new legislator, I want ways and means, I want laws and rules, or I take economic development. And if I don't have experience in economic development, shall we say, now what, then all of a sudden I have to get one of those?
No, because your leader, the majority leader, might say, you just gave me those here,
That's not what it says.
It turns around, if that person, that's their three choices, you have to give them one of those.
Can I just address that?
No, I'm sorry, because Herbie's been waiting for like a really long time here to talk.
Keep that one alive.
Herbie.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion since...
I know.
But I will tell you, there's no reason why you cannot say that you have to have one standing committee, one committee, and if you get excused from that committee for some reason, why can't the chairman appoint you to another committee?
So you could.
You have one committee.
I agree with that.
As far as, absences and what's the right number and how many should you go to, we serve at the pleasure of our constituency. I would dare to say most of the people in this room have run for election before. Does your political record come up? Of course it comes up. Your opponent's going to say, this person never attended one meeting. There's 12 legislative sessions in a year, and he only went to two. I mean, the general public knows more about our records than we give them credit for. So I think that's going to flesh itself out when you go to election. So I don't think we need to put a minimum in there. I agree that, if someone's ill or something, like you start putting fines on there and someone has to go for chemotherapy. So he's got a turmoil in his life, and you're going to charge him $50 every time a committee...
I agree. That's why I think that idea of going further than this deserves a different time other than now.
I think this can be written very simple, that they have to serve on a standing committee. And if H is invoked, whereby that committee that they are asking to be excused from, for whatever reason, maybe it's a Tuesday night, so put them on a committee that meets on Thursday night. Has to serve on one committee. If he's excused, then he has to serve on another committee.
Men and Joe, then Don.
Yeah, I also want to support the version that Legislator Archer put forward, because it provides for better communication. And, just my observation is that just in the short time that I've been here, the more communication, the better the outcome. And that's generally my experience in the world. So I really appreciate that. And for the Section H in the Archer version, for just to, so we're all talking about the same thing. I think another sentence is needed that says that if the person is excused from, you know, they're basically, they're only on one committee, that they will be appointed to another committee. So some language in here to assure that, and that still gets waived if somebody is too ill. But if it's for a reason such as conflict of interest, they're not going to have a conflict. You know, they can talk about with the chairman what other committee they could serve on that they're not going to have a conflict of interest, right. And then so that everyone does have at least one committee. I think that's a
Don,
fair
then
obligation.
Dave.
I want to jump back in. We talked about not being able to find a committee. If you ask for certain ones that are just loaded up, that you can't get any of those. I think that's the total reason for going to the minority and the majority leader, to straighten that out before it gets to the chair. That's something that I know I did when I got questions from everybody in our caucus, that you couldn't get certain things, but you could get other things that would work. But if you give that to the chair with no other options and nothing behind it, if it's not remedied before it gets to the chair, then that's a problem. But you would do your job, I know you do, and I do mine too. I do it. It doesn't go to the chair unless it works, because then it's in nobody's interest to make it move forward.
But can I just jump in real quick? Hold on, Dave. Let me just jump in on that real quick, and then you.
Comment, Glenn. You're abusing your chair.
I don't think so. I think everybody else thinks I'm doing fine.
I think you're abusing it.
I just to jump in there. The other issue is, did you? I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
A majority leader or a minority leader may or may not be, when they're trying to make all the puzzle pieces fit together, considering things like geographic diversity on committees. Do we have two legislators from the City of Kingston on the Public Works Committee? Do we have, three legislators or four legislators, including the majority and the minority, from the southern end of the committee?
Well, let me.
What's that?
There's nothing in our rules that say we have to.
But you attempt to do when you do the committees is you attempt.
There's nothing that says you have to. Would you like to put that in? I'm fine with it. But I'm just saying that a chairman having the ability to have the final say allows that person, depending on what kind of chairman they're going to be, to make those sort of judgment calls and decisions.
And Lynn's read, the chair does have the final say.
I agree with A and B.
Yes. Yeah.
On all except for the first appointment, which must be off of their list of three.
That's the only one I have. I agree with the other parts.
I agree with everything except for that part, personally.
I disagree with the must to get one. I mean, they should consider or do so on and so forth, however you want to do it. But I mean, it could lock somebody in. Actually, I've been here long enough that people play politics at certain times, and sometimes they'll purposely do something of that nature just to block them in to make sure that they get whatever one they want when somebody else may should have been there on
who's
whatever.
When you say they, who are you talking about, though? Who's
the legislator, in other words, can do that. People, hey.
You could have a first-term, under this, you could have a first-term legislator coming in and, like Dave said, ways and means, laws and rules, and economic development, and automatically they've locked themselves into one of them.
Well, wait a second.
I mean, also,
doesn't get by me. Doesn't get by you.
It does. Read the rule, Don.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that I'm not. It would get, then there should be a buffer in between. And that buffer should be somebody that isn't doing that. It's been elected to be the caucus representative, and you just don't allow that to happen. You just don't. And that's that buffer. That's that middle person that, ultimately it's the chair's job to do it. I got that. But if you or I in this particular case, and other people in other years, I don't think I would know. I don't know of anybody that would allow it.
Right now, we're speaking about what we've called the Archer version. Though, where in there is that buffer? Because that's what Dave and I are talking about. There not being a buffer.
I'm not gonna amend anything about anything. But what I'm suggesting is that shouldn't necessarily go directly from the legislator to the chair. It needs to have contemplation by the leaders of the both caucuses. Say, is this what we really think is best?
So then, under your,
have that back and forth.
So then, under your point of view, from the legislator to the majority and minority leaders, then from the minority and majority leaders to the chair, does the chair then have the ability to change any of the recommendations?
I have another problem with
Let me finish just this one thing. I think the answer to that is yes, but with consultation, we didn't have that this time, and I'm not going to get into all of the specifics of why not, and whatever. But I think the best way to move forward in how to do it in a perfect world, or try and get as perfect as we can, is to have the legislators give the majority minority leader a list of what they would like, and that list may be more than three, it may be five or six, and they could rate them as they think are important, and then somebody's got to make a decision what they move forward in a way in which it balances for the party, both minority and majority, and then that gets given to the chair, and the chair then takes a look at that and talks about the things that you just did with diversity of location and all of that type of thing. Does it work or doesn't it work? But then the key to that is that the consultation between the chair and the majority and minority leader, that needs to happen as well, because they put it together. And I think we can improve the system, and I'm not suggesting that we change anything about anything, but that would be my perfect world in how to do it, because you get everybody with the stake at the table talking about what's going to be,
Dave,
opposed to not.
All right. I have the problem here is when we're looking at this, we're dealing with, in many cases, what you're doing is solidifying the politics. You're saying here that the appropriate majority and minority leader, when you think about this, look at A again and think about this. I mean, what ends up happening is, so the majority leader decides that, you didn't elect me, you weren't my vote, you didn't vote for me, you're not going to get what you want here. When in reality,
no disrespect,
the chairman,
but it kind of is what happened. Come on.
Well, I don't know.
I don't really want to diss anybody on this, but the whole point was there wasn't sufficient communication. And I hear what you're saying, Dave, and maybe the way, and I understand your concern, and maybe what was just suggested is put four or five. Rank order the different committees you're interested in.
What you're doing is it's going. Technically, the chair is elected by the body. So in other words, in a sense, they are elected by both sides of the aisle. They elect that person. That person becomes the chair. The minority leader does not get one vote from the other side, nor does the majority leader get one vote from the other side. They have no...
But they're bringing their party's interest
that.
To the
but
table.
But the point is the chairman's the one that has to make the decision on the committees. And in this case, everything's going through the minority leader and the majority leader, and then they're going over to the chairman to talk to him. I find that problematic, because those three, it should be going directly to the chairman. I agree with the other parts where they consult and they sit down and have discussions and do all that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I do have a problem with it not going directly to the chair. In other words, those three, whatever, if you want to make it four, I don't really care.
So just as the chair, it goes to the minority leader, majority leader, and the chair. Just add it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, because the chair is the one who's going to have to make the final decisions. And I know very
well. But
it shouldn't preclude
a conversation with the minority leader and majority leader for dialogue and content.
Exactly, no problem.
Okay.
But of course, there was other little problems that took place that caused no communication. Certain little crap that took place towards the lack of communication. But that's another issue. What I'm saying is that in the end, and I know very well because, like I said, with Noonan purposely doing something that really screw over not only one of his members.
Well, we shouldn't be pointing
so
at
well,
let's not personalize.
I'll tell him. He knows what I've said. I've said it a million times. Him and I were friends. I mean, I'm probably his only friend.
914-255-8771.
Well, she's friends with him. Glenn can be, in politics, Glenn can have a difficult that friendship.
He's my friend too,
but anyway, the point is that you can't allow that to also happen. So, in other words, you're going to have to, you know, in the end, the chair jobs is to really keep both sides of the aisle at the table, working together. I mean, that's the job. And, if, you know, you're creating, and then you're actually you're solidifying the majority.
And their role. Yeah, no, I...
Tracy.
Okay, so I've heard some... I'm going to steal some great input, because you brought up something, and Mary Beth, I think, hit on something, and maybe, and then I have a little comment. So if we look at GA, so if we say, in making standing appointments, within 7 days of the legislature's annual reorganization meeting, every legislator shall inform the appropriate majority or minority leader, however you want to add it, and the chairperson, in writing, their top, I'm going to throw out 5 distinct committee assignments in order of preference.
Up to 5.
Or whatever. Okay. No, it has to be 5 because
the point is that gets rid of the issue.
Opens up the issue that you can't just pick those. Think about how many committees we have. If you just pick those 3, if I have to put 5 different, because without having distinct and without having an order of preference, they don't know. I mean, I could write ways and means, or I could just write...
And put rank order.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, in order of preference. Mm-hmm. However, whatever language you want to use, that really opens it up. It's like, again, I'm stealing from Mary Beth with the expand the thing.
No,
I like the majority-minority leader still discussing. It goes to the chair. I don't want the final say. I don't want the final say to be the middle person. I mean, as a legislator, I want to know that. And this also doesn't preclude me from, look at this in now. It's like I could give the majority leader my list and call the chair and say, I want to come in and talk to you, or can I tell you over the phone, or can we can I weigh in and I want to tell you why I want these? Doesn't stop any individual legislator from reaching out personally. And I think it answers a lot of the concerns of the impossibility potentially of giving the assignments. At least people feel listened to. One of their 5's going to get chosen. 5's is a pretty big stretch.
I'm actually fine with that, the 5 in rank order of preference. I've got no concern with that. Now, do we want to move to B on then and discuss what Dave's been talking about making sure you serve on 1? Is the 5 then supposed to satisfy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I meant. Sorry.
I think the five satisfies the. For me, the 5 satisfies.
I didn't say to make sure you serve on 1. I mean, I originally thought the idea was good,
but I'd
rather not even change it, to tell you the truth, because I understand that in other words, when you're trying to regulate things of this nature, it's very difficult to do. Now, the chairman chose, in this case, to accept someone saying they're not going to serve. Did he have to do that? I mean, it's not. I don't think he had to tell you the truth.
But there's an argument. I don't think he had to either. But there's an argument.
But the point is,
it's a great. There's an ambiguity. When there's an ambiguity, I like to clean it up.
Your resignation. You will serve. I mean, that's the other way of looking at it. So I mean, I don't know. You know, that may have opened up the can of worms in another way. So in other words,
but I will say, if I could, and just just in defense, this is also someone who goes to just about every meeting of almost all the committees anyway. So this is not someone who doesn't participate. I understand what the concerns are, but let's at least say this is not someone who's shirking any responsibility for anything. This is someone who is a contributing legislator, and that
which is why I've said from the beginning to anybody who will stand still long enough that this is not about one particular person, a particular situation.
Can I have my turn?
Yeah. Well, so far you've gotten a great deal of credit for the contribution, but continue.
Well. Let's go back to my first term here, where there was a legislator who would only show up 5 minutes before session once a month, cause chaos because they never went to caucus or a meeting for the most part, and got paid the same amount of money that I got paid for coming up 6-7 times.
No, she's not talking about.
But this is what I'm saying, though. What are you saying?
We don't want to be very specific here. It's a legislator who's a gym teacher in Marlboro.
Oh, a different one.
So what I'm trying to say is there's points that can be made, and I think there needs to be a basis, and I think we need to move on with the basis, because you have about
12 minutes.
12 minutes before economic development starts.
Yeah, Ken, I'd like to be recognized.
Legislator Roberts.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin. You should have went first.
Well, thank you, Ken. You know,
did you raise your hand?
Yeah, like 38 minutes ago.
Oops.
And you even said, I'll get to you. You're fourth on the list.
Oh, yeah. I remember now.
I actually did forget my train of thought, Harvey, too. But I'll try to wing it. And I'd like to, I appreciate what you did, Legislator Orchard. You know, you put a lot of time in this, and we do appreciate that. I think a legislator should serve on at least one, probably two committees. I have a problem with the second half of C. I don't mind, you know, if you want to say three, five, that's your list, but at the end of the day, it's the chairman's pick, and if he doesn't see fit to put you on any of those five, it's hard for me to change tradition that way. H is good in theory, but we're not talking about a long period of time between when you submit your list to the minority majority leader and you get put on a committee. You may be talking maybe 14 days at the most. I think you should notify the majority or minority leader at that time. I can't sit on a committee because I'm sick. I got family issues or obligations. You know, for example, too, I told Kenny that I didn't want to make any Wednesday's meetings. The only day during the week I have my daughter, you know, that I see her. So I don't want to come up here on Wednesdays. And I told Kenny of that from day one. And, you know, I was obligated with that. But, you know.
And so he accommodated you, right?
Well, no, because the chairman picks the chairman of each individual committee picks
the
days after that. Right. But Dean was kind enough to move the committee meetings to Thursdays for, I think it was actually Manna Jo that complained the loudest and got it to Thursday. Thank you, Legislator Green. So yeah, but you know,
but caucus is on Wednesday now. The first caucus and Kevin is, and this goes back to the idea of fining or requiring attendance or any of those things.
Yeah,
so Kevin,
caucus is decided by you. Caucus, you don't have to go on Wednesday.
I made a choice that I will not be attending any caucuses on Wednesday, so I can spend time with my daughter.
And the caucus has an understanding with that, and it's fine. You and I speak beforehand. We know what.
If they want to penalize me for that, so be it. But I think they'll understand.
I think so too. Herbie.
On C, if we just add the simple words, we'll assign each legislator, where possible, to at least one of their requested committees. Then if there is an issue where everybody wants to serve on ways and means and economic development, you do it, you consider it, and you make the appointment where possible. You can't have 23 legislators on one committee and then six other committees with nobody on it.
I would support it with that caveat. I mean, I had written it a little bit differently, but it's the same general thing. Legislator Allen.
I was going to say almost exactly the same thing. Whenever possible, insert after and it was kind of jumping off of his point, Legislator Roberts. When I first heard about this proposal, this resolution, I think it adds an element of professionalism to what we do. So I'm behind the spirit of it, and then I can see where there's going to be some differences of opinion as to specific language and what all this stuff means, and it sounds like everything's been getting ironed out through the debate process in here.
Tracy, then Herbie.
I don't like the idea of the wherever possible, because I understand the intent of what Legislator Archer put in here in terms of, and I hear the concern about not wanting to tie the hands of a chairperson, but I also feel like if you took Mary Beth's suggestion, which I voiced, and extended that list to five, you would be very, very hard-pressed. I mean, we have what right now? 8, 9 standing committees? You'd be very hard-pressed not to be able to give a legislator one of their five requests. I mean, it just seems like, and that's to some extent, I mean, it's about everybody feeling. It's about communication happening. It's about everybody feeling heard and feeling like they can contribute in the best way. I mean, I do believe that there are committees where I feel I can't imagine they're not the best suited for me, but probably if I served on them, I'd find myself engaged, and I'm sure I would find a way to contribute. I think that would happen for any.
I do that once a month.
I really think extending the list to five would address...
No.
Would address that would address that issue and requiring this, that it's distinct.
She knows it. I'm actually coming around to the idea only if it's five and only if it's one of the five, because as you're saying, it would be really hard, especially with only nine committees, it'd be really hard not to be able to fit one in. But one thing that you and I had talked about, and I talked about with a couple other people that's not in here that I want to add it to F, is every legislator shall serve on at least one standing committee of the Ulster County Legislature, but any legislator will not be required to serve on more than three committees. Because somebody had talked to me about a possibility of a chairman being vindictive and appointing somebody to six committees without any. Yeah,
it was deemed.
Right.
But then,
so,
can I say that I would add, without that legislator's consent, because you might have a retired legislator.
Well, yeah, but that's why it shall not be required to serve. It's not saying you can't you can't serve, but they shall not be required to serve.
Okay, yeah, I mean that's fine as long as.
Yeah,
they're
the only reason I thought about that is because I know how sneaky I think of me. I won't deliver on it, but I think about them.
So
that's scary, Dave.
Yeah, so I thought about the idea when I was here. Yeah,
thanks for saying that out loud.
Seven committees. I'll just give them seven committees. You want to be on committees? No problem. You had seven of them. But, I mean, that's...
So, I mean, I feel like it'd be really hard with five choices not to find one spot to put somebody, even if you were looking to be vindictive. I mean...
See, the problem, though, with your thing about no more than three is what happens when you have, like, a very small minority. But then again, you would the numbers would change, the ratio would change.
Most likely the ratio would change. But again, you know, I personally have at one time or another, due to people not wanting to serve on a lot of committees, I have served on many committees. There was one time when there were nine standing committees, and I believe I was serving on five of them. And I've served on and for the purposes of everybody's information,
not required to serve more on more than three.
Not be required to, but be allowed to, but not required to.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's
because some people, you know, that's what they want to do.
Herbie, I got a list here now.
I mean, the horse is dead. All right, we beat this horse up for a day, and it's dead.
It's got up again.
But it's just a commentary. We're 23 people out of 850,000 people in this county.
180.
No, I don't know. I don't know why someone would run for office to become a legislator, and then not serve. I mean, it's ridiculous to me. The whole premise is ridiculous to me. People run.
It's happened previous to this, but I think that one of the concerns that I've had that's brought this front and center is that we have a smaller legislature now with almost the same number of committees, so the work distribution, if one legislator doesn't serve on any committees, is much greater to the rest of the legislature than back when we had 33 members. That's what's brought this front and center. So,
but you also made the point that when you... And I believe that was, if not last year, the year before, when you were serving on five committees, it was because there were members of your caucus that didn't want to serve. That's what happens necessarily.
Right.
If someone doesn't serve, someone else has to.
That's correct.
Slot. I mean, I actually only last term, I only sat on one committee, and I begged for that from Dave because I had, at the time, a young daughter. A one-year-old. Yeah. I ended up coming to Ways and Means all the time, but... It only was able to happen because someone in the caucus was willing to take an extra committee assignment.
Right.
So, So I mean, I understand the requirement of at least one committee, and I think we need to. In addition, if the five is acceptable, I think we do need to fix H so that it requires a reassignment. And then someone brought up the notification in writing to the chair that there's a conflict. I think illness. I see illness separately, and I think also if someone were severely ill that they had to miss multiple meetings, it would be reflected in the minutes as well. Excuse due to illness. I mean, I think it's a different kind of circumstance than what this is intended to address.
The conflict could be a business conflict or a family obligation conflict. So,
yeah.
Right.
This is kind of business, family, conflict, any of those. the others. The illness is, I think, a distinct...
Right. Separate.
A distinct...
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what about the idea? In other words, you feel they still should serve on a committee. So what about the idea that the chairman should first then consider a reassignment? You know, should consider a reassignment. Now, the chairman may, in other words, just the idea that a mindset is that, you know, you can't serve on Tuesdays for whatever reason, and that committee and the committee is not able to change the time. Mm-hmm. So, because let's face reality, if you can, most of the time, whenever I've served on committees, we've had the discussion when we're going to meet.
And there's some flexibility.
There's some flexibility in there. In other words, there's nothing saying that you have to meet on it. You know, we try to keep them similar at the same time because it makes it easier for the public.
Right.
But on the other hand, you know, if certain members can't meet during that. So, I mean, the first thing they should consider for that is that, you know, rearrange you a time. But having said that, if that can't be done, the chairman should be able to consider... But no, I don't think they should
be required. I agree.
Because what happens if it is an illness, or you know, they got a new job and they're right now they're working at nights now, you know. So in other words, maybe they're not going to continue to run the next time, but they're still on the legislative body.
I want to say I think they. I'm sorry. Do you want to go first?
I just want to interrupt. I think we're not talking about the middle of the year. We're talking the January after you got elected in November. So, I mean, you know, from that period of time, I'm sure people can get sick. I get it, you know, but it's unlikely.
Tracy, then Don.
Two things that I'm just thinking of about age. I think we potentially could be talking about the middle of the year. Someone gets a job, and now they have a conflict,
yeah.
And they notify the chair, I cannot serve on this committee. It's their one committee. I personally think the chair should be obliged to make a reassignment. I also think that the chair... should consider the five original requests, but if the legislator is removing themselves from a committee that they were given with the initial caveat of one of the five, the chair, I think, should have the purview of
whichever
any committee assignment.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, you were given one of your five, now you can't do it. I mean, it's over.
So if you resign mid-year, though, under this rule, you would already have had one of your five.
Right.
So at that point, whatever... So that's what we're essentially saying, the same thing, whatever a committee is reappointed to is under the chair's up to the chair's discretion.
And that the chair then needs to, I think if otherwise, I think that this, we shouldn't even be having this discussion at all, because I think the idea is if this resolution's before us to require participation on a standing committee, we're going to say, okay, but there's a bunch of reasons you don't have to serve, and it's up to the chair, and he or she can just say no.
I don't know if you have to add that they must go with someone, because it's sort of like implied in a way in there by saying that the chairman may grant that.
But I
you
have
may
a
turn
problem.
Around and say you have a conflict of interest, the chairman may say too bad.
Don wants to say something real quick.
They say too bad. It's up to them to make, but they're most likely not going to do that. I mean,
that's a major problem.
Dave, let Don jump in, Dave.
We've worked this thing pretty good. I think everybody here understands what the right thing to do is. What we put down on that paper will be worked out. But it's the people that are sitting in these positions that can make it work or not work. And we all know what the right thing to do is. When you put a spotlight on it, I think everybody understands. There's a whole lot better understanding now than there was a month ago, 2 months ago. So I think whether we change a letter or a word or whatever is not going to change the intent of what we're trying to do. And I think we can work it out.
Just back to Dave saying, I think that I wouldn't want to leave that discretion up to the chairperson to allow someone not to serve at all due to a conflict. Like Dave brings up the idea, oh, someone gets a job at night. So, I mean, we all ran for office, and we're asking to serve on one committee, to me, is not. I mean, it's.
I don't think it's unacceptable.
Yeah, we're asking for minimal participation, and in fact we can't legislate participation. So you're serving on the committee, you may never show up, you know. You're serving on a committee, you may show up for seven committees that you don't serve on.
And so, one of the points is what Don had said in the beginning, and he didn't make it, it wasn't 100% clear, but requiring service on at least one committee creates a paper trail for the people to follow. Without having your name as absent at a committee, no one's going to know, you know, at the end of the year, oh, well, that person didn't, you know, that person resigned from all their committees. So that's why there's no absences.
And just
could show 100% attendance.
I guess my point is that, you know, I talked about a, you know, not a conflict, but a kind of a conflict of my attention that I had 2 years ago. And Kevin talked about conflict he had. And I think between the two of us, we mean no disrespect to anyone else. Everyone's got a life. I mean,
absolutely.
We're part-time legislators. Everyone's very busy. Some people are retired. Some people work full-time jobs. They may be night jobs. They may be day jobs. They may be volunteering somewhere. I don't know everyone intimately, personally. So it's like, I think to allow the chairperson to allow an excusal based on, you know, this kind of broad range is a little bit too, it goes against the grain. If that's the case, then I think we should just scrap the whole thing.
I'm confused now. Are you
H
saying,
I'm talking about.
I understand that, but are you saying that what you're asking for is an assurance that there's going to be a reassignment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We could add that. We can add that at the end. You know, in a case where a legislator resigns from his or her only committee. Based on anything other than an illness,
and reassignment,
the chairman shall reassign the legislature as he or she sees fit.
Yeah.
What is the process then moving forward? I've heard a lot of things. I've made notes. Other people have made notes. How do these get integrated?
What I would suggest is that the clerk of the legislature and the deputy clerk will compile everything together. Email it out to the committee, make sure that it's what the committee remembered happening, and then we would bring it to our Laws and Rules Committee meeting at the end of this month.
Yeah, we
do it to all, at least to all present, maybe, if not all legislators.
We have everybody on there, right? Excellent.
I don't know. I still think that it should be the chairman's discretion.
Does anybody have anything more to say on the subject?
Oh, please.
Make a motion to close.
Motion to adjourn made by Legislator Roberts, second by Legislator Archer. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?